Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, let's get straight into it. We're looking at the source material you shared and specifically honing in on just one sentence, but wow, it packs a punch. It connects, you know, the really high-level financial policy decisions right down to, well, your bank account. So our mission today is to really unpack this single idea. Federal Reserve rate reductions are expended to lower borrowing expenses. What does that actually mean? What's the mechanism? And maybe crucially, what are the caveats?
Absolutely. That sentence, short as it is, describes a huge economic lever. Understanding the pieces, the Fed itself, what a rate reduction actually is, and how that links to borrowing expenses, that's crucial. It helps you move beyond just reacting to headlines. You know, you can start to anticipate what might be coming down the pipeline financially.
Right. Anticipate instead of just react. Love that. Okay, let's define the players first, the Federal Reserve. In the context of this sentence, what role are they playing? What power lets them do these rate reductions?
Okay, so think of the Fed here as the central bank, the bank for banks, really. Its main power, relevant one here, is setting the target for the federal funds rate.
The federal funds rate, that's the one banks use to lend to each other overnight.
Right? Exactly. It's the baseline cost of short-term money for the entire banking system. So when the Fed announces a rate reduction, they're lowering that target. They're essentially making it cheaper for banks to borrow those reserves they need. It's a signal, a very clear one, that they're easing monetary policy, trying to make debt less expensive across the board.
Okay, easing. But hang on, why would they want to ease? If the economy is doing okay or maybe even running a bit hot, wouldn't lowering rates just, I don't know, pour fuel on the fire? Why cut borrowing costs then?
That's a really important question. They don't do it in a vacuum. The decision to cut rates, especially when the expected outcome is lower borrowing costs, usually happens because they see potential headwinds. Maybe inflation is stable or even too low, or maybe unemployment is starting to creep up, signs the economy might be slowing down or needs a little nudge. The goal is generally to encourage spending, investment, you know, hiring. By making it cheaper for banks to get funds, the idea is that banks will then lend more and more cheaply to people and businesses. It helps grease the wheels of the economy.
Oh, okay. So it's about managing the economic cycle, trying to smooth things out, not necessarily just make everything cheaper all the time.
Precisely. Context is everything when it comes to Fed actions.
Right. So let's follow the money now. This is where it gets practical. How does changing that overnight rate between big banks, how does that actually trickle down to me? How does it lower my borrowing expenses, say, on my credit card or a car loan?
Okay, this is the transmission mechanism, and yeah, it has a few steps. It's not instantaneous for everything. Think of it in maybe three stages. Stage one is immediate, the bank's own funding costs. When the Fed lowers that target rate, the cost for Bank A to borrow reserves from Bank B literally drops, often overnight.
Okay, so banks save money right away, but are they always eager to pass that saving on? I mean, they want to protect their profits, their net interest margin rate. Does that saving reliably get passed through?
That's where stage two comes in, driven largely by competition.
Mm-hmm.
This hits the prime rate. The prime rate is what banks charge their best corporate customers. But critically, it's also the peg for tons of consumer debt.
Like what kind of debt?
Variable rate stuff, mostly. Credit cards, home equity lines of credit, ELOCs, some personal loans. The prime rate tends to move almost in lockstep with the federal funds rate, usually about 3 percentage points higher. So when the Fed cuts, banks usually drop their prime rate very quickly. Why? Because if they don't, their competitors will and they'll lose business. That competition forces the lower cost onto at least some types of consumer debt pretty fast.
Got it. So variable rates, credit cards, HELOCs feel the effect quickly because they're tied to that prime rate, which follows the Fed funds rate closely.
Exactly.
But what about the big stuff? Mortgages, car loans, those are usually fixed rates, right? They dominate household budgets. How are they affected?
Right, that's more stage three. Things like a 5-year auto loan or especially a 30-year fixed mortgage. They're influenced by the Fed's move, but indirectly and often with more of a lag. These longer term rates are much more tied to expectations about the future inflation, economic growth, and technically to the yields on longer term treasury bonds like the 10-year treasury.
Okay, treasury yields. We might need to unpack that another time, but stick with the effect for now. Let's say I'm buying a truck, $40,000. The Fed just cut its rate by a quarter point, 0.25%. What does that actually mean for my monthly payment, like dollar figures?
Okay, let's run some rough numbers. Say before the cut, you were looking at maybe a 7.00% rate on a 5-year loan for that $40K truck. Your payment would be around $792 a month.
Okay.
Now, if the market fully passes on that quarter point cut, so your rate drops to 6.75%, your payment becomes about $787.
$5 a month? Doesn't sound like a huge amount.
On its own, maybe not, but that's $300 saved over the life of that single loan. Now, multiply that effect even small changes across millions of borrowers and trillions in debt. Plus, that cut often signals a broader trend. Maybe rates fall further in the coming months. More importantly, it signals that banks are likely becoming more willing to lend in general. The overall environment for borrowing is getting easier. That cumulative impact is significant.
That makes sense. Quantifying it, even with small numbers, shows the direction and the scale when you zoom out. Okay, this brings us to what I think is the most fascinating part of the source material. That word, expected. Federal Reserve rate reductions are expected to lower borrowing expenses. Why expected? Why isn't it a guarantee? If the Fed pulls the lever, why doesn't the machine just instantly respond?
Ah, yes, expected. That's the crucial qualifier. It acknowledges that the Fed pulls the lever, but the market reaction isn't automatic. There are two big reasons, basically.
Yeah.
Anticipation and the difference between short-term and long-term rates.
Okay, anticipation first. What do you mean?
Markets hate surprises. If everyone, traders, economists, journalists, strongly believes the Fed is going to cut rates at their next meeting, they start pricing that in before the meeting even happened. Bond yields might drift lower. Maybe some banks start slightly adjusting mortgage rate quotes in anticipation. So when the Fed finally announces the cut, the market reaction might be, well, muted. The move was already baked in.
So the expected drop might have already happened, at least partially, before the official news, like knowing the ending of a movie.
Exactly like that. The climax isn't as dramatic if you saw it coming miles away.
Okay, and the second reason, short versus long-term rates.
Right. We established the Fed directly controls that very short-term overnight rate. But longer-term loans, especially fixed-rate mortgages, are priced based on longer-term expectations. The benchmark there is often the 10-year Treasury yield. Think of the Fed controlling the thermostat for tonight's temperature in the house. The 10-year Treasury yield is more like the long-range climate forecast for the next decade.
Okay.
That long-term forecast depends on things like expected inflation way down the road, global economic growth, geopolitical risks, stuff the Fed only influences indirectly.
So wait, does that mean the Fed could cut its short-term rate today? But if the market is worried about, say, high inflation 5 years from now, the 10-year Treasury yield could actually go up.
It absolutely could. Or it might just not fall as much as the Fed's rate cut would suggest. If investors demand a higher return on long-term bonds to compensate for future inflation risk, that pushes up the yield.
And since mortgage rates are often benchmarked against that?
Your mortgage rate might stay stubbornly high or only dip slightly, even though the Fed just announced a cut. That's the gap expected warns us about. The transmission isn't perfect, especially for long-term fixed rates. And sometimes banks themselves might be hesitant. If they're worried about the economy, about borrowers defaulting, they might just hold on to that cheaper funding rather than lending it out aggressively. Risk aversion can slow things down too.
That's incredibly important context. Okay, let's wrap this up. What's the main takeaway for someone listening, trying to make sense of the financial news?
I think the core point is, when you hear Federal Reserve rate reduction, your first thought should be, okay, the signal is for cheaper money to encourage borrowing and activity. That's the intent. You can then predict downward pressure on borrowing costs, especially for variable rates like credit cards, which should react pretty fast. For longer-term stuff like mortgages, it's more a nudge, but the direction is usually the same, barring those other factors we discussed.
Exactly. The key insight is understanding the Fed's goal, stimulating activity via cheaper debt, but also knowing its limits. Market anticipation and those longer-term expectations, reflected in things like the 10-year Treasury, play a huge role in what actually happens to your borrowing costs. So really, this knowledge gives you an edge. Instead of just waiting for your bank statement, you can watch the news, understand the Fed's move, and start thinking, okay, maybe now is a better time to think about refinancing, or perhaps the rate on that business loan I need might ease up soon. It helps you forecast your own opportunities.
Definitely. And to leave you with something to chew on, think about that word expected one more time, but flip it. If rate reductions are expected to lower borrowing expenses, what happens if those cuts don't come as expected? Maybe they're delayed. Maybe they're smaller than the market hoped for. Or what if banks, maybe worried about their own profits or risks, simply don't pass on the full savings?
Ah, then the actual cost of borrowing might not fall as much as people thought. Or could even stay flat despite the Fed signal.
Right, which means the gap between expectation and reality could widen. And that puts you, the informed listener, in a better spot to shop around, question rates, and find the best deal, because you understand that the expectation isn't always the outcome.
A fantastic point to end on. Keep digging into those expectations. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive, and we'll catch you next time.